One of the points that you've emphasized is that there are activities that appear to improve children's executive functions. You've noted that practice is key, and also that children devote time and effort to activities they love, so that fact can be used to design ways to strengthen executive functions. Tell us where the research findings are strongest in terms of what can build more robust executive functions in children.
That was a great summary you just gave.
Thanks.
In 2011, Science Magazine asked me to review all the evidence in peer-reviewed publications on programs or interventions that can improve executive functions. And I was surprised to find that a lot of different approaches had some evidence. Computerized training, games, aerobics, martial arts, yoga, mindfulness, and certain school curricula. But consistently across all approaches, the benefits from any approach are narrow and focused. Commercial computerized training programs are claiming wide cognitive benefits and are making astronomical profits. But buyer beware. Wide transfer just does not occur, period. It doesn't occur. On the rare occasions where it's been reported, those findings have not been replicated. Across intervention approaches and target skills, people improve on the skills they practice. And that transfers to other contexts where those same skills are needed. That's called narrow transfer. But people only improve on what they practice. Training working memory improves working memory, yes. But it doesn't improve inhibitory control, speed of processing, or reasoning. To see widespread benefits, diverse skills have to be practiced. Because of that, real-world activities like martial arts and school curricula that train diverse executive function skills have shown more widespread cognitive benefits than targeted computerized training. Executive functions need to be continually challenged to see improvements, not just used, but challenged. Erickson spent his whole career studying what makes experts in all kinds of different fields and endeavors. He found the answer was always the same. It takes thousands of hours of practice, but not just practicing what's easy for you, but always trying to master what's just beyond your current level of competence and control, always challenging yourself. I can't overemphasize the importance of that type of repeated practice enough. Whether executive function gains are seen depends on the amount of time spent practicing, working on those skills, and pushing yourself to improve. What repeated practice does is to make these skills second nature or automatic. A child may know intellectually that he shouldn't hit another, but in the heat of the moment, if that knowledge hasn't become automatic, the child's going to hit another. Though if you asked him immediately after, should he hit? He'll say no, he knows he shouldn't hit. It's the difference between knowing something at an intellectual level and having it be second nature or automatic. When you're struggling to exercise an executive function, you're using prefrontal cortex. When it has become easy and second nature, when you're better at it, you're not using prefrontal cortex as much or at all. Years ago, a book called Zen of Archery captured what I'm trying to say here. When you have to think about what you're doing and are exercising top-down control, you don't do it nearly so well as when you let the older regions of your brain that have had many thousands of years longer to perfect their functioning do their thing. Now, how can you practice something that you can't yet perform on your own? And the answer is scaffolds or crutches or aids. For example, in an early education program called Tools of the Mind, they have each 4 or 5-year-old choose a picture book, pair up with another child, and they're told to take turns telling the story that goes with the picture in their book. Well, everybody is all excited to tell their story, and nobody wants to be the listener. And it's utterly useless to ask a 4 or 5-year-old to wait. So what they do in Tools of the Mind is they give one child in each pair a simple line drawing of an ear. And they explain that ears don't talk, ears listen. And with that concrete reminder, the child's able to listen. Without it, he wouldn't be able to. And after a few months, the child doesn't need the scaffold of the picture of the ear anymore because the child's internalized it. Several review papers have touted the benefits of aerobic exercise for improving executive functions. The evidence for that is actually extremely weak. Exercise by itself may improve memory, but there is not much evidence that it improves executive functions. The evidence is a lot stronger for exercise plus character development, like traditional martial arts, or exercise plus mindfulness like yoga. In an excellent study, researchers named Lakes and Hoyt randomly assigned kids in kindergarten through grade 5 to Taekwondo martial arts or standard phys ed. The children assigned to Taekwondo showed greater gains than children in standard phys ed on all the dimensions of executive functions they studied. This generalized to multiple contexts and was found on multiple measures. Another study compared traditional martial arts, which emphasized character development and self-control. For example, you're not supposed to immediately go in and attack your opponent, but you're supposed to wait until your opponent gives you the opportunity. Maybe perhaps he's starting to attack you and so is slightly off balance. Then you take advantage of that and then you go in and attack. So you have to inhibit your inclination to want to go in there and go get him right away. They compared that to modern martial arts. Martial arts simply as a competitive physical activity, nothing about character development or waiting before you attack. They found improved executive functions and social behavior in those teens who were assigned to traditional martial arts, but they found impaired executive functions and social ability in those assigned to the modern martial art condition. So the way an activity is done matters enormously. I predict that almost any activity can be the means for disciplining the mind and enhancing resilience. Many activities not yet studied might well improve executive functions. Critical components of any activity in terms of improving executive functions are, first, the activity needs to require executive functions, such as careful attention and concentration, holding information in mind and using it, self-control and discipline, quickly adjusting to changed circumstances. And the activity should keep challenging executive functions at greater and greater levels. The most important element is that the child do the activity a lot and keep pushing himself to do it better. So when is that going to happen? It's when the child really wants to do the activity, is really committed to it, and really cares. That's when the child's going to spend a lot of time at it and is going to keep pushing himself to get better. It's that discipline, the practice, that produces the benefits. So I've argued, as you suggested, that we might as well have kids do something they can put their heart and soul into. And I don't care what that activity is, as long as the attributes I'm talking about are present. It could be martial arts. It could be a service activity like Free the Children. It could be something outdoors like orienteering. It could be circus. It could be El Sistema Orchestra. It doesn't matter. Further, I predict that activities that will most successfully improve executive functions are those that also indirectly support executive functions. Prefrontal cortex, the brain region most critical for executive functions, and executive functions themselves are the first to suffer and suffer disproportionately if we're sad or stressed, lonely, or not physically fit. For example, if we're sleep deprived, not eating properly, or too sedentary. You may have noticed that when you're stressed, you can't think as clearly or exercise as good self-control. When I'm stressed, I reach for the chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
Stress, sadness, or loneliness impair executive functions and will make anyone look as if that person has a disorder of executive functions, like ADHD, when that person doesn't have ADHD. How many kids are being misdiagnosed as having ADHD when in fact their problem is that they're stressed? On the other hand, we all show better executive functions when we're happy, feel socially supported, and are getting exercise. Now, what activities hit all the points I've just outlined? Precisely those activities that are being cut back in so many schools. Activities such as music making, whether it's band, orchestra, or choir, dance, positive sports, etc. Think about it. Those activities address our cognitive, emotional, social, and physical needs. They challenge our executive functions. They demand concentration, discipline, etc. They make us happy and proud. They provide occasions where we can see very concretely that with effort we can succeed and get better. Often something that looked impossible, when you keep working at it, you can do it. It could be something as simple as running a mile. When you start, you can't run a quarter mile. After a while, you can run 10 miles. These activities address our social needs. They involve working together toward a shared goal that's larger than just yourself. Mutual trust and respect develop, as well as a sense of belonging, of being part of a team. And they help our bodies develop eye-hand coordination, balance, and cardiovascular fitness. For tens of thousands of years, across all cultures, dance, art, and play have been part of the human condition. People in all cultures made music, sang, danced, and played games. There must be reasons why those activities arose everywhere on Earth and have withstood the test of time. If they were just frills, they would not have co-evolved everywhere, and they would have been dropped long ago. I'm saying that these activities should improve executive functions because they possess all the prerequisites. There are testimonials galore about how these activities have improved executive functions and academic performance, rescued kids at risk, transformed kids' lives, but there are no definitive studies examining this. None. There's a fair bit of correlational evidence. For example, kids in band often do better in school. But we have no way of knowing if the children who chose band already possessed the qualities for doing well in school or would have developed them anyway. I've been trying to get funding for rigorous studies of the benefits of dance, orchestra, circus, and storytelling. Now, I'm a well-respected researcher, and my grant applications for research funding on standard scientific topics always sail through review and get funded. But when I apply to study the benefits of dance, for example, reviewers say things like, dance? That sounds flaky. They don't even give the applications a chance. So I'm hoping that people who share my belief that these activities can transform kids' lives and who would like to help us get the hard evidence to back that up might step forward and help fund that kind of research.